Welcome in to the Late Night Gamecock Show. My name is Matt Anderson. I'm the host of the Late Night Gamecock Show. Joining me, as always, is Alex Jones of thebigspur.com. And we have a very, very special treat for you. We have Justin Lyles of sportscapvalue.com here for the entire episode. We have a heck of a lot to get here to tonight, y'all. We have bowl games. We're going to touch on every single SEC game, every single college football playoff game. Yes, the Gamecocks are down 7 points to that team from the upstate that we will not name tonight, but we will give you live updates throughout the game if you're not watching it. And just excited to be here. I know it's Tuesday night. I know it's not Wednesday night, but we had some scheduling conflicts and just wanted to make sure we got it in. This will be our last episode of 2025, which, Alex, man, that's weird.
Hard to believe. I feel like I keep saying it, but I feel like we were just talking about summer football and all that and getting ready for week one against Virginia Tech, but now we're a week away from Christmas. It's hard to believe.
We are only a week away from Christmas, and JC and I do have something planned to get you guys through this winter break. So keep a lookout for that. It's just going to be something we drop in. It's not going to be live. It's just going to be on YouTube. So make sure you're following the Chief Sports Network on YouTube and podcast. And XO, man, I love you to death. Like, it is Wednesday night. You think you have your days wrong. You don't, because it's not Wednesday. It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday night. I have my days wrong. Oh, my God. It's been hot and heavy, man. Like, I work in insurance, so open enrollment was yesterday for January, and I had every single person in the world call me yesterday saying, hey, is it too late? No, it's not, but we got to get it done. So we have been very, very busy. Alex Jones has been writing articles galore on thebigspur.com. Justin Lyles at SportsCapValue has been giving you daily picks. Make sure you're taking advantage of that. But before we move on with the show, I do just want to take a moment and just talk about Steve Tannehill. Steve Tannehill obviously passed away yesterday. I think Jamie Bradford did an amazing job on his tribute video. J.C. Sherbert did an amazing job with, you know, kind of a eulogy that he put on thebigspur.com yesterday. And look, Steve Tannehill, I remember him more from the videos and the photos of him, obviously the Patrick Davis song. But since I can remember, he's been at the top of virtually every Gamecock quarterback statistical ranking. So, you know, we just want to tip our hat to him. Patrick Davis immortalized him in a song. And, you know, Godspeed, God bless to a great Gamecock, and he will be missed. But, Alex, let's get on to Late Night Gamecock Show right after this introduction.
Gonna turn on the late night show. Hear what's going down in Cooltown.
Welcome back into Late Night Gamecock Show. I think it's only fitting to start this show right now talking about Kendall Briles, Stan Drayton, and Randy Clements, who would like for us to call him Clem. So, Alex, you were there at the press conferences. Justin, I'm sure you've watched the press conferences. Alex, first to you, takeaways on what you saw and what you heard.
Yeah, you know, a lot of takeaways. You know, we had the press conference part of it. Then we also got kind of like separate interviews with all three of those guys and Shane Beamer as well afterwards. And, you know, just from the press conference part of it, just kind of hearing Kendall Briles talk about how important it was to have Randy Clements or Clem come to South Carolina with him, just because of the connection that he already has. And, you know, he mentioned that, you know, with what he knows already about the system, he can be out there helping Kendall Browse teach it too. Kendall Browse is not going to be able to teach his O-line coach their system. And I think that's huge, just because he can help the whole group get along faster with the system and all that. And then, you know, yeah, I thought Stan Drayton was really good from a press conference setting too, and everything after that. Like, a guy that you can see why he's been such a good recruiter at all these places. Guy that's really, you know, just relatable, personable type of guy. And, you know, really interested to see what he can do on the recruiting trail for South Carolina. He kind of mentioned that he's ready to get right into it. You know, I thought it was, you know, good to hear that he's going to go back to Penn State just to finish it out with Penn State, just because they're going to be in that bowl game against Clemson in the Pinstripe Bowl. And then he'll be full on with South Carolina, and kind of talk to him too a little bit about how he's going to balance that with some of the things. But sounds like he'll be with Penn State, but then also he's going to be working to get ready to learn that room and get ready for the transfer portal. But I think you heard a lot of the reasons why Shane Beamer hired each of these guys. You know, you can see just what they're going to bring to the table, and was really kind of impressed.
Yeah. So Justin, we'll take it to you now, as you know, relatively an outsider. Like, neither of us were in the press conferences. We were just following the news as it came out. Kendall Briles, first off, Justin, how do you feel about that hire?
I love the hire. I mean, you're talking about a young, and I don't know if upcoming coordinator is the right word, because he's been kind of at the front of the Power Four for several years now. I mean, I remember South Carolina playing Arkansas several years ago when he was there. And obviously, hot commodity, come from TCU. Obviously, we know the kind of lineage with his father and whatnot. And, but this is a team that can score points. And, I think it's a home run hire. Obviously this is the most important hire of Beamer's tenure. So to this date, and will determine, you know, Beamer's future and, you know, the staff's future going forward. Obviously he signed a 3-year deal, and with the other assistants as well. I think it's just a kind of jumbo package, so to say, but it is I think a wonderful hire. I think you're going to see a lot different, and it'd be interesting to see. Well, I guess we'll never know the discussions behind the scenes. Obviously the timing took a little time to kind of come of fruition, but I mean, it seems like Beamer was kind of had several folks. He was talking to several folks, you know, maybe many coordinators, many people that were not coordinators that are involved with coordinators. And then you hear what Saban says about Briles, how he's been trying to hire him when he was coaching. So I think that's only a positive sign. I think the future is bright for South Carolina's offense. And then obviously with Sellers coming back, I know we'll probably talk about that at some point too, but I think it's a home run hire for South Carolina.
Yeah. I think my biggest takeaway from the actual hire was just looking at the numbers, and everywhere he's been, that next year has been better.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, South Carolina definitely needs to get better. I think that, honestly, no disrespect to anyone that plays, you know, college football 25 online, but I feel like a 13-year-old could have had a playbook and done just as well as anybody that South Carolina's had lately. And I mean, I say that with all due respect to Dowell Loggins. I thought he did a really, really good job. He's probably the exception to my analogy. But it was time for South Carolina to do something. And it's interesting to me, too, to think about what Texas Christian fans are yelling about him running too many screens. And at South Carolina, you know, screens, slants, give us everything. And just get more diverse, get more creative. I thought the Shane Beamer's comments when he called Rocket Sanders and asked about Kendall Briles, Rocket Sanders has a unique perspective of being a player under Kendall Briles, but also being a player at South Carolina. And you never want to take a running back's perspective of saying, yeah, go hire the guy. You know, you want to do your due diligence. But the fact that Rocket Sanders was all for it gives me a lot of hope. And the only year, Justin, you might not know this, but the only year where an offense didn't progress, Kendall Briles in his first year, was the year that he took over for Garrett Riley when they went to the national championship and they were scoring 40, 50 points a game. That's just law of averages, folks. Yeah, it's hard to continue that type of success, but as Gamecock fans, I know you'll take it. When it comes to Stan Drayton, his resume speaks for itself, y'all. He's been at every single power program in the country, it seems like. He's been a head coach. Alex and I mentioned that now Shane has at least three former head coaches on his staff right now, and Mike Furry, Stan Drayton, and then also Who?
Sean Elliott.
Sean Elliott. Yeah. So I think that that's something that Pete Limbo really did a good job with Shane. And, you know, Shane might need someone to bounce something, some ideas off of. That doesn't mean he's not a great head coach, but every head coach has that person. And then with Clem, look, this offensive line is very highly touted. If you look at the recruiting rankings, offensive line is the hardest position to predict future success from the high school level. I mean, Justin, I bet you remember some guys that were offensive linemen at Hartsville or South Florence that were 280 and just dominated. And then some other guys that were 220 and did a heck of a good job. It all depends on who you're going against the next snap. So I think Alex's point is pretty good there, that it's going to be a new system, and Kendall Briles not having to teach the system to everybody and have an offensive line coach that can teach it himself is huge.
Yeah, and if I may add, I think, you know, they talked about, you know, building around the run, so to speak, but and maybe that may not be the most, like, juicy thing to hear for Gamecock fans, but there's a difference between, you know, building around the run and running the, you know, inside zone that Shula was running. Like, I mean, they're going to get creative on, like you said, screens, motions, and different ways to get the running back and get Sellers involved and get running backs, you know, touching the ball behind the line of scrimmage. So I think it's the way he mixed it up. I mean, Gamecock fans should be really excited.
I think so too. And I also think that it's just fresh eyes on everything. And that was one of the big things that I said. Like, I had no problem with Sean Elliott being the offensive line coach. He's a damn good offensive line coach. But sometimes a new voice, and this is how we do things now. And that's one of Shane's greatest attributes, is he's not going to get in the way. He's not going to coddle any kid on that team. Like, he will get in their grill if they're not doing what they're supposed to do. And now everybody has a clean slate. So I do like that. I think it's a home run hire. I really do. I think it's an opportunity for South Carolina to get better. And just looking at the schedule that came out, Alex, it's going to be a pretty rough last five games. So if you have the first seven to get ready, along with spring practice, fall practice, summer workouts, all of that, Gamecocks got to get ready. Alex, do you have that schedule up? Because I don't have it, but I can get it if you don't.
I can pull it up real quick, and the first two games are going to be Kent State and Towson. And kind of to your point on that, like, I think that's going to allow, you know, South Carolina offensively to kind of get some things going early in that, because then I'm pulling it up right now. They also got Mississippi State, Kentucky, and Florida kind of in that first few stretch. But what that's going to allow is kind of allow that offense to really mesh even more than what they are in preseason practice. And, you know, I think the quote that's kind of getting everybody's attention from Kendall Briles and what he said, basically saying that they're going to do what Lenore Sellers is really comfortable with. And I think that's something that people have been asking for, because sometimes you just feel like when you're watching Lenore, it's like he just wasn't comfortable in the pocket, and a lot of that could have been pressure and all that. But I think you're just going to see him kind of tend to form this offense a little bit more to what Lenore Sellers is comfortable with. And that's what you see with a Kendall Briles offense. And talked about it on here last week, and I think on with JC and Phil, but you know, the thing that stands out about the Kendall Briles offense is, like, it's you know, adapts to what the personnel needs. You know, whatever you see that with Rocket Sanders and KJ Jefferson in Arkansas, that was a really good running game. But then you're seeing it at TCU, where they kind of can form the offense to do what Josh Hoover does from a passing game standpoint. So I think that's, you know, really what's catching everybody's attention with this Briles hire.
I think so too. And just a quick heads up, the Gamecocks are down 37-31 with 15:32 left in the second half. The Gamecocks were either 11.5 or 12.5 point underdogs. So they're hanging tough right now. Just while Alex gets the schedule up.
Yeah.
Gamecocks are only 2 of 17 from 3-point range. Clemson is actually really, really good at defending the three. I think they're allowing opponents maybe like 27%. The Gamecocks were 31% coming in. But the key metrics I look at right now is the Gamecocks have 27 rebounds. Clemson has 25. Clemson's 4 of 10 from three. And just looking at the personal fouls, Clemson has 10 and the Gamecocks have 12. So Gamecocks are going to have to make a run here soon. I always say you want the best run in a basketball game and you want the last run in a basketball game. So we'll keep paying attention to that as we go along. But, Alex, let's look at that schedule before we hit a sponsor break.
So, you know, first four games are going to be Kent State, Towson, Mississippi State at home. Then you got Alabama on the road. So that kind of goes to what my point is. Like, you know, we'll see what Mississippi State's going to be. I imagine they're going to hit the portal hard, but you have to kind of like what this opening schedule is before you get in kind of that gauntlet that it seems like South Carolina's had these past few years in this back half of the schedule.
Yeah. So, Justin, just take us through the first four games. Thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I like the easier game, so to speak, to start the season off. I mean, obviously, with, you know, college not being like the NFL, they don't get those kind of scrimmages or preseason games, so to speak. You know, so I think Kent State and Townsend will give us that opportunity to really start to see how this team kind of comes together and gels and not going off of just practicing against each other. Obviously, you'll sign up for 3-1 off those first four. And then anything better than that, obviously going 4-0 means you'd beat Alabama. So, I mean, I think at the least you have to go 3-1 if you're going to have any, you know, prominence of a season with what Beamer's kind of came out of the end of the year talking about with making a run for next year, which that's another whole discussion about my opinion on that. But
well, then that game two against Alabama is on the road, I think, Alex.
Yep.
So. Gamecocks, look, I don't think anyone gave them a prayer of a hope 2 years ago. They made that game interesting down the stretch. For whatever reason, the last 2 years, South Carolina has played Alabama really, really well. I think that Alabama is going to have a talent advantage in any game. So you kind of have to live with what Justin said. If you can go 3-1, you'll take that through the first four games. And we're not going to predict every single game on the schedule, but we will go four at a time. And just look at the different stretches. So, Alex, what's the next four?
So, in October, South Carolina will have Kentucky at home, at Florida, and then you have a bye week. Then it will be home against Tennessee, then at Oklahoma.
So, I mean, like, Justin, just off the cuff, 2-2 sound good to you?
Who was it, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Florida, and who else? Kentucky?
Kentucky, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a good opportunity to go 3-1 there. But, I mean, the season changes so much week to week. And then, like we're talking about quarter or in third tier, you don't know how what's going to happen with injuries with other teams and whatnot. Obviously, the bye comes in at a perfect time in the middle of the season for South Carolina. So, that's really lucky, so to speak. But at the end of the day, who knows how Florida's going to be with a new coach, Kentucky with a new coach, and Tennessee has seemed receptive, you know, since they've lost their defensive coordinator several years ago, so they're going to give up points.
Well, they just lost another defensive coordinator this year.
Right. Yeah. Does that favor South Carolina? And then you don't know what Oklahoma's going to be, you know, this NIL stuff. So, I mean, this is a year-to-year basis. This is a month-to-month basis when it comes to players. And South Carolina, if South Carolina hits the portal right, you never know. We flip the script. But Shane Beamer and the staff's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. When I'm looking at each of these games, Kentucky, Florida, Tennessee, and Oklahoma, and I'm sitting there trying to, like, say, all right, well, I predict South Carolina win. I'm like, I don't know, because we don't know what any of these teams are going to look like. We don't know what South Carolina is going to look like from a transfer portal standpoint. That's just kind of the craziness of the college football world is we won't know until really the end of these 2 weeks, beginning of January, what these rosters are going to look like.
Yeah, and I expect that, you know, from a season total, I know we're going through the whole season for 2026. They're adding another conference game, which I think is a good thing. I'm not a fan of all the kind of group five matchups. And I know South Carolina plays the in-state outside of Clemson every year. So I'd like to see personally that change in the future. But I know there's some state law or something with that and with funding and whatnot. So I know that's a different story, but I could see this over under team total is probably going to be around 7.5 like it was this year. And what I've learned,
I think it's going to be lower. I think it's going to be six and a half,
maybe 5.5 based off the year, you know, and yeah. Which if it gets that low, I'll probably take the over, but with a lot of these team totals, the money is taking the under on a lot of these teams. It just, you take the plus money. Everybody wants to bet the overs on teams, but if I like to take the approach of if team has a bad year, take the over on the next year. If team has a good year, take the under, vice versa.
I'm right there with you. And Alex, what you're saying is so true when you think about what the Gamecocks roster will look like. I mean, yeah. Alex and I don't know. Justin doesn't know. JC doesn't know. Jamie doesn't know. Phil doesn't know. Whittle doesn't know. Hale doesn't know. Tony doesn't know.
Matt, you and I were texting about it yesterday. That's kind of what's going to make these next 2 weeks, or not next 2 weeks, those first 2 weeks in January, it really interesting and kind of fun just because everybody, it's going to be hectic. Like, it's going to be visits happening. It's it's going to be nuts. And that's going to make it really interesting to see what these rosters look like, because it's going to be a wild 2-week stretch there.
Yeah. And Alex, go ahead with those last four games real quick.
Yeah. So in November, they'll start off November 7th at home against Texas A&M, go on the road to Arkansas, and then home against Georgia, then on the road at Clemson.
Yeah. So like that last four game stretch, I mean, honestly, I think that the first third is probably the easiest. Yeah. And then the second third is probably the second easiest, and the last haul, which unfortunately for Gamecock fans, it can either go really, really well or really, really poorly. You know, if you're 6-1, you know, you're 5-2, whatever, or 5-6-2, and you go in your last four games. I mean, the Georgia Clemson stretch is a little daunting, but I do think that with NIL, like, I do think you're going to see more teams in the SEC be more even next year than you've seen it in the past. So we don't know what's going to happen.
And with that Georgia game, like, you know, you can make the argument you don't want it in those first stretch of games either, if you're South Carolina, just because you want some time to kind of build the offense and things like that. And you maybe don't want Georgia in that stretch. So, there's really no right time. I think there's always going to be something like that, but that's going to be a tough 2-game stretch in the season.
Yeah, and Justin, like, you know, when you do this for a living, right? I mean, not a living. You have another job, but you do this like it's your living. And at the end of the day, you know, I think about, if you want to be a team that's going to make the playoffs, you're not that team saying, oh my God, I don't want to play Georgia or Clemson at the end of the season. No, you should be a team that has a rhythm, has an offense, has a defense, and you should be geared up to want to have that opportunity. And I think that's something the Gamecock fans need to change their mind on, and they're not going to believe it until they see it. But Justin, just from a – take your Gamecock glasses off for a second, and just from the lens of, okay, it's Georgia-Alabama in week 11. Like, how are you even looking at that? You're viewing both teams, I would assume, as pretty equal and looking for the flaws to find who's going to win.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. So much happens between, you know, week 0 all the way to week 13 or what have you. So I don't really look at the back, you know, the bottom, the last four games, because you got a team that's coming off, South Carolina coming off, obviously, a horrendous season. You got a lot of unknowns, and Beamer has been, you know, for his first 5 years, has notoriously gotten off to slow start. So I mean, with the easier first two games, so to speak, I mean, this is very critical for this team to get off to a really good start. I mean, and not get behind the eight ball, so to speak, going 2-3 or 3-3. Like, you've got to do better if we're going to, you know, change the tide, so to speak. And Georgia, you got it's like recruiting. You know, so, well, everybody says, well, South Carolina had a top 15 or top 20 recruiting class. Yeah, that's great. But when 8 or 9 of the other SEC teams are ahead of you, it doesn't really matter. I mean, until you're fighting that up, you know, can change that or find ways to develop players, getting those 3 and 4 stars that we have. I mean, obviously, we're getting 4 and 5 stars too, but they're getting a lot of 4 and 5 stars. So at the end of the day, you got to find, pick and choose, and make sure when you're getting those kids that you're hitting right. Now, they did that 2 years ago, and that's what's going to need to happen this year. So,
yeah, I guess my larger point there was just saying, if the Gamecocks are 6-2 going to their last four games, at that point, you've proven it, you deserve it, and, like, you shouldn't look at the last four games as daunting. You should look at the last four games as opportunities. And if you're 6-2 playing the schedule the Gamecocks would have played, you're likely top 10 in the country. I know it's not going to be the CBS game of the week like it used to be, but you're going to be like in the college game day conversation. Yeah. So that's what Gamecock fans need to hope for, and just say, hey, if we're there, we're there. If we're not, then Shane Beamer's probably not your coach next year. Well,
that's the thing. Yeah, and that's right. And I think Gamecock fans will sign up for 6-2 going into the last four games, because you control your own destiny to get into the playoff, right? You go 10-2, you're in.
Yeah,
with this schedule. Yeah. So, I mean, I think Gamecock fans will sign up for 6-2 right now on the spot.
I would sign up for that, just covering it, because it makes my job a lot easier. I mean, I don't think – well, yeah, Alex, we never got to 6 wins this year. We never got to 5.
No.
So it wasn't very much fun.
No.
But I see Carolina Titan says, I'm taking 8-4 with Briles on staff for 2026. Look, I'm not going to be the person that says don't get your hopes up. Like, I think that's very much attainable. This team was better than 4-8. This team was probably more of an 8-4 team. But you had the things that held them back that we all have talked about. We're not going to get back into it, but everyone knows who they are. So, Alex, let's go ahead and hit a quick sponsor break. Let's hear from our sponsors. When we get back, we're going to talk Bowl Mania, and that's what Justin is here for. Justin loves the Gamecocks, and we love getting his take as the fan on the show. But I want to make some money this bowl season, and Alex and I'm one game back of Alex in bowl season, so I'm fired up.
Morning, Carl. Usual?
Yeah.
Your oldest was in here the other day. Said the two of you took a trip down to my neck of the woods. How'd that go?
You might as well give me one of those Carolina cards while you're at it.
I knew I'd like that one.
Yeah.
There you go, my friend.
Thanks.
Hey, Carl. Congratulations.
See you tomorrow, ready?
You bet.
J.C. Sherbert here. Had a brilliant idea that some good friends of mine in Florence have told me about. Next time you're having a wedding or an event or anytime you got to feed a bunch of people, talk to my friends over at Flavortown Eats and Events. That's right. It's a food truck / trailer. Prepares the food fresh on site right there for you. No hassle. It's absolutely delicious. They'll come out, turnkey solution to feed the masses at your event. Go to their website right now, FlavortownFlow.com. That's FlavortownFlow.com. They have all the contact information you need, and they are a proud sponsor of the Late Night Gamecock Show and the Chiefs Sports Network.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Bluffton and online at palmcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Go Gamecocks!
This is the Late Night Gamecock Show with the pride of Hampton County, Alex Jones. And with the king of late night, Matt Anderson. Go Gamecocks!
Welcome back into the show. Again, my name is Matt Anderson. Joining me as always, Alex Jones of TheBigSpur.com. And tonight, for the entire show, we have Justin Lyles of SportsCapValue.com. So guys, just a quick update. Gamecocks are down 43-34 with 12 minutes and some change left. Gamecocks, again, 2 of 17 from 3. Have 11 turnovers to Clemson's 5 turnovers. So you don't have to be a basketball whiz to do those numbers. If you're 2 of 17 from 3 and you've turned the ball over 2 times as many times as the opponent, you're probably going to lose. So we'll keep tracking that. But we are going to get into our Bowl Mania preview. I am down 1 game to Alex Jones. And for those of you who don't know, Alex Jones is very, very close to having to buy me a D's Wings meal. And I'm very, very excited for that. So
I think it's the other way around.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm closer than you are. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm down 1. So I'm down 1, assuming that Alex and I don't pick the same games. So there will be a winner after this because we have 10 games to pick, Alex, and we might do a tiebreaker at the end. But what I asked these guys to do was just look at the Penn State game and the rest of the SEC for bowl games. So I know Justin's ready. I know Alex is ready. I think I'm ready. So we'll start with that game that features the ACC against the Big Ten. That is Penn State and Clemson. Over-under is 48.5, and Clemson is a 3.5-point favorite. Justin, we'll do what we always do with this type of stuff, and Alex and I will give our picks first, and you just tell us who's right and who's wrong. So, Alex, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. I think I'm going to take the over for 48.5 on this one.
Okay. Do you have any wise knowledge on why?
I just, the 48 seems like a low number for that game. And Clemson has had their issues offensively, but it's going to be hard to pick these bowl games just because of the opt-outs and things like that. But this game just has a feeling of putting some points up on the board, honestly.
Well, I'm going to do one for the homies in the chat box. I'm taking Penn State plus 3.5. I haven't looked at all of these, Alex. I don't know who's opted out for Penn State. I know there's 27 players that have either opted out, injured, or not playing for Clemson. And I think Penn State's just on a mission. I really do.
Have it at 3.5 or 4.5? I see.
I have it at 3.5. Do you have 4.5? Because I'll take that.
But yeah, I see 4.5.
I'm saying 3.5. Good for you. If you
give me 4.5 right now.
Yeah.
I'll take Penn State 4.5. I just think this Penn State team is playing for themselves at this point, and they want to end the season on a high note. They might not win the game, but Clemson also has the longest winning streak in the country of bowl games at 14, I believe, which I guess they don't count college football playoffs. It's just only bowl games if you do Clemson math. But so I'll take Penn State plus 4.5. Alex, the next one. Now we're getting into SEC games. We're going to go into college football playoff here in a little bit. Actually, time out. No, stop, Matt. Justin, your thoughts on this game, please.
Well, I didn't know that they had a bowl streak, winning streak like that, so that's kind of incredible.
Well, that's Clemson media. It might not be true.
Oh, okay. I actually agree with both of you. I like Penn State here getting the points. They're, the Pinstripe Bowl is up in New York. I think this one's played at Yankee Stadium, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of somewhat of a home game for Penn State. I think they got a little grit after the whole Franklin firing, and I think they're kind of just got a little more to play for, so to speak. Not that they're really playing for anything. It's just a bowl game, you know, on whatever day it is, the 27th. And I like the points, too. I'm with Alex as well. I was going to say, look for that to go up a little bit. So if you're going to jump on the over, jump on it now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I think that the over, I just think that it's going to be a let it all hang out kind of bowl game, if that makes sense. The next one, Virginia against Missouri, the over under 47.5, and Missouri is favored by 7. Alex, you went first last time, so I'll go first this time. I'm going to take the under 47.5. I think that both teams are disappointed being in this bowl, so give me the under 47.5. I just don't think that either team is going to be motivated to put up points. I think it's a play the game and get out of here type situation.
Yeah, I think I'd do that as well. And I'll go Missouri 6.5 on this one. I think Ahmad Hardy is going to have a pretty I'm a little bit worried about Virginia's defense going against Missouri's offense with Perbula and Ahmad Hardy. So I think Missouri covers that one.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite plays of the bowl season. I think Missouri is going to stomp Virginia. I just don't.
Yeah.
Virginia lost to Duke. I watched that game. And yeah. I was just not impressed with that at all. And I just don't know what Virginia has to play for. They got the win knocked out of not winning that game and not making it to the playoff. So I just think Missouri is just a better team. I think they got unlucky with a lot of injuries. And I think Eli is a good coach. I think Missouri is going to respond pretty well here.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I do like I see Exo in here said same. I think Missouri wins by 2 touchdowns. Would not surprise me at all. Missouri is the much, much, much better team here. Mm-hmm. The next one is actually kind of interesting to me, Alex. This is LSU in Houston. And looking over it, this is the only SEC team not favored in a bowl game. When I looked at it just about an hour before the show, in the LSU-Houston game, Houston was favored by 3. the over under was 41.5. And this is the same thing. I'll go first here, Alex. The same reason I'm taking Penn State plus the 4.5 against Clemson. I think that LSU has something to prove here, and I'll take LSU plus 3.
I agree. I would take LSU plus 3. I 41.5 on the total. I could go under on this one. Like, I don't know LSU's offense. Like, I think we'll do just enough. Like, I think they're kind of, you know, just who knows going to play quarterback as well. Like, you know, I think defensively, Blake Baker is going to have his guys ready for that Houston offense. So I'm gonna go under on this one.
Yeah, this is a stay away from me on the line. I just don't know what to expect of the Houston team. They've looked really good sometime in LSU. I'm not real sure. I think that total's pretty low. I think Houston can score, and I think LSU can score. We'll probably be able to score on Houston. So just because it's at 41.5, I could see this hitting 42, 44, somewhere in there. I think there's a little room, having a little bit of an edge at 41.5 right now. So I like the over.
Okay. I like that. The next one's actually really interesting to me. It's two teams that the Gamecocks are somewhat familiar with. They haven't played Tennessee in a couple of years, but they just played Illinois in a bowl game last year. And Illinois was South Carolina's kryptonite. They were able to move the ball throughout the game, but when the Gamecocks got in the red zone, they stifled the Gamecocks, and that was with the Gamecocks on a 6-game winning streak. This game has an over-under of 61.5, and Tennessee minus 2.5. Pretty interesting line. Alex, would you like to go first on this one?
Yeah, I think I've taken total point totals on each one so far. I'm going to do it again. Like, 60.5 is a lot, and I'm going to go under on this one. Tennessee's offense has been a little bit up and down. Then we kind of saw within South Carolina Illinois game last year, like, they can really slow down a game. Like, when they get into these kind of run-heavy types of things, that they can waste a lot of time. I think there's going to be some – it may not be the whole game, but there could be some a little bit of that either at halftime or things like that where they're really trying to slow the game down, and that's going to kind of bring that point total down. So I'm going under here.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that. And I'm actually going to take Illinois minus 2.5 on this one. I just don't think this is a game that Tennessee or their fans are going to get up for. And I do see kind of like the spider web type of game where it just gets very close throughout. And I think that Illinois just has more grit than Tennessee does.
What bowl game is this? I'm completely blanking right now.
Oh, God, I don't know what the bowl game's called.
Oh, okay.
The Music City Bowl.
Music City, okay. All right.
So it's in Nashville. It's going to be extremely cold. I think this suits Illinois. I'm with you, Matt. I like the under as well. I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth, Alex. I think, you know, Belima is going to try to slow this thing down, you know, and kind of ground and pound. And I can see people betting it and it maybe going up a little bit, which is even better. But I'm with you. I think this is in the mid to high 50s game.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that 61.5 is absolutely wild to me. But, you know, sometimes they know things we don't know, folks. The next one here is another SEC game. It's Iowa versus Vanderbilt. Over-under of 47.5, and Vanderbilt is a 5.5-point favorite. Look, call me crazy. Give me Iowa plus 5.5. I think that when Iowa's defensive coaching staff has an opportunity to scout a team for a long period of time, they will make life miserable for Vanderbilt. And I think, you know, despite Diego Pavia ranting against the committee and, you know, everything about not winning the Heisman, I'm going to take Iowa plus 5.5. What do you think, Alex?
I'm going the other direction. I'm going Vanderbilt to cover. I just, you know, there's been too many times that they've kind of proven, you know, either better or things like that wrong. Like, I think, you know, I like your point on the Iowa coaching staff and having, you know, we've seen so many times where Iowa's played really well in these types of bowl games, but I'm going to go the other way. I think, you know, Pavia and those guys end it by covering.
Is Pavia locked up in New York? I heard there was rumors he was locked up after the Heisman. Is he going to be able to play?
I think he's going to play, and his mom will be there too. If you're into
that. Oh, okay. Oh yeah, they're going. Oh, that's right. They'll show her every other play like they did, like every game he played. So yeah. Give me Iowa just for that matter. I'm so tired of seeing them. And like, I think Iowa's got something to prove. I think Vanderbilt's going to be like South Carolina was last year, just on the outside looking in on the playoff. Give me Iowa and the points.
Well, you know, Justin, you're a man of principle, and I respect that. And he's betting on principle here. All right, the next one. Now we get something pretty interesting here, and I'm very excited to hear y'all's take on it. Alex gets to go first on this one. But we have Michigan and Texas. I don't know what the bowl game's called, but the over-under is 46.5, and Texas is minus 7.5.
Texas cover. I think it's just going to be that simple. Okay. Like, I think Michigan's going to be pretty distracted with everything that's going on here. I'm going Texas cover.
Yeah, there is a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead. I know you want to give your take.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not often I go to another team's 24/7 message board, but man, was I locked into Michigan's on Wednesday night. I was all over that message board reading everything. Look, I think Michigan's in turmoil. I think that Texas is going to try and prove that they are a national championship contender next year. Arch Manning's already said he's coming back, or at least his dad said he was coming back. You know, the 7.5, I think, is just begging people to take Michigan. But Michigan hasn't proved anything to me this entire season. I do think the Texas defense is pretty salty. So I'm not going to follow Alex on this game, but I do like his thought. I'm going to go under 46.5 just because I think this might be a 30-10 type game.
I'm staying away from this game, man. This thing can go all kinds of directions. I mean, I don't trust Michigan. Obviously, they've got their issues. And has there been a program that's just kind of been Jerry Springer, this, that, whatever you want to call it? I mean, geez, from 2 years ago winning the national title to what they are today. And then Texas is a little disappointed as well with their season. Right now, this is a stay away for me.
Honestly, Justin, I love like the Jerry Springer aspect of that because both these programs have been a little Jerry Springer-ish. And, you know, there's always some people on Jerry Springer from Texas and probably from Michigan as well. I'll never forget. First Ohio State fans I ever met told me about Michigan. And I think I'm terrible at geography, but it was like go east until you smell it and then north till you step in it or something like that. And I think the very same thing can be said for Texas in some ways. Just go east and or go west and south. A lot of craziness in Texas. All right, so now we're getting into the college football playoff. We have four games to pick, and then the bonus rounds will be for me and Alex. And Justin, you can play along as well. Who's going to win the college football playoff? So we start with Alabama and Oklahoma. For my money, maybe the best game on the card when you're looking at that first round of the college football playoffs. I saw it at Bama minus 1.5 earlier today. I think it opened as a pick 'em, and the over under is 40.5. Alex, I'll go ahead and start on this one. I'm taking the over 40.5.
Oh, I thought about taking the under, so I'm gonna go a different direction on my pick then.
I love it. No, do okay. It, Alex. Please do it.
All right, I'll do it. I'll go under 40.5. Like these, Brent Venables, like, is a good defense. They're going to be ready to play in this one. Alabama, like, it can be a little bit shaky in offense, but had, you know, kind of just a little bit up and down is the way I put it. Like, I feel like Brent Venables having this much time, already having seen Alabama too, and then having this much time again, like, I can see this being a really low scoring game.
Yeah, this is, obviously, they've played already this year, and Alabama obviously did not look that good in the SEC championship, getting dominated by Georgia. To me, my first glance, obviously this game is it Friday, I think? Friday or Saturday? Yeah, Friday. I like Oklahoma in this spot. I think I kind of want to think that Oklahoma reminds me a lot of Notre Dame last year. They went on that run to the national title. Oklahoma kind of has that defense like Notre Dame had. And it's, I think with the quarterback, with Mateer, I think he does enough with his legs to get the job done. I just like Oklahoma at home getting the points here in this spot.
Yeah, it's such a tough game to handicap. I mean, look, Alex, you and I sat here back in the summer when we did the Gamecock football season preview, and we talked about Alabama, and we did our SEC preview. And honestly, man, like I love Alabama's team. I really do. But man, like, I mean, I'm taking the over 40.5. We'll just see. It should be one of the better games. And I think that Alabama let one slip through their fingers earlier this year.
This is an interesting point that XO brought up here. DeBoer better win. When we're talking about Michigan, like, you know, is this a game where, you know, if Alabama doesn't look good in this game, and is he going to be like, okay, well, maybe I will go to Michigan? And because he's been a name that's been thrown out there for that. So I think that's kind of an interesting storyline. I don't think DeBoer is going to go to Michigan, but, you know, I think they could go and get Jed Fish or something like that from the West Coast, but interesting little kind of storyline there too.
Oh, it really is. And they're, like I said, I've been on the Michigan 24/7 board, and a lot of people want Kalen DeBoer, which I think would be a great hire for Michigan. I think, honestly, probably the best hire they have. And, you know, poor Michigan trying to figure out a new coach after all the dominoes have fallen.
Yeah.
Not a good situation. But all right, the next one is Miami and Texas A&M. Over under 51.5. Texas A&M, last I looked, was favored by 3. Alex, I'll let you go first here because this is a really, really interesting one to me.
I'm going to go Texas A&M covers the 3.5. Like, I still don't know about Miami in this game, or about this season. Like, you just – sometimes you don't know what you're getting with them. And Texas A&M, for the most part, has been pretty solid. Like, I think they're going to win this game by a touchdown, maybe in a 10-point win or so.
Well, I had Texas A&M minus 3, so I'm going to give that to you, Alex. And I'm on the opposite side of this. I think Miami is a pretty good football team. I still think they're a dark horse to win the national championship. And Texas A&M haven't proven it to me yet, I'll be honest. I think Texas A&M had a big win over Notre Dame in week 2. Notre Dame should be in the college football playoff. Like, hate me if you want to, but they should be in. I think they're one of the top 12 teams in the country, maybe the top 8 teams in the country. So I think Miami's going to have to prove a point. I don't know how far they'll go. I do think that they have enough talent on both sides of the ball to win the national championship, but I don't believe in their coaching. But give me Miami minus 3 in this one.
Justin? Just to add to this, like, I mean, you can say kind of say the same things now when I think about Texas A&M, too, to your point. I mean, from an SEC schedule standpoint, Texas A&M kind of looked out from how the standings worked out and things like that, and then they go and lose to Texas. So it's kind of one where it kind of feels like we're in the playoff, but still don't know who these teams really could
Yeah, win. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I like Miami in this thing. I just think the public's going to be on Miami in this situation. So I think if that thing kind of creeps back towards Texas A&M, watch out there with the Sharps. I love the over here. I think both offenses can score like crazy. And I think this is going to be a shootout, in my opinion. 50.5, I like that number. I only see that creeping up. I see that thing probably getting to 52, 54 by kickoff. But I just like Miami in this thing, but we'll see how that shakes out.
I like that over, too. I probably should have given more consideration to it, to be frank. That's why Justin's the sharp, and I'm the guy here that, you know, is scrambling for my mortgage each month because I've been betting against his picks. All right, so the next two are really interesting to me. You know, only one of them is an SEC game. We'll start with that one. We have Tulane versus Ole Miss. The over-under is 56.5, and the spread is Ole Miss minus 17.5 is what I saw. Alex, I don't know what the heck to do with this game. I mean,
yeah,
it's hard. I'm going to make you go first on this one.
This one, yeah, I don't know. Like, there's so many different things. Like, so many different things. I can see this game being where it's a first-time head coach, Pete Golding, kind of coming into this type of setting. Or is Ole Miss going to be pissed off and want to go out there and put a whole bunch of points on the board? Like, which way do we want to go on this? I'm going to go Ole Miss covers 17.5. But I do not feel good about it. I have a low confidence in this pick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't – it's the same for this game and the next game we're going to talk about. I don't think there should ever be a college ball playoff game where it's three-score differential in the point spread. I think that we're doing this thing wrong if that happens. And I think that the nation probably would agree with that. I think the ratings will show that. The worst thing that could have possibly happened for the college football playoffs is for Lane Kiffin to just take his ball and go to LSU, because there's really nothing to watch for here except for maybe Tulane covering the spread or maybe winning. But I'm going to go under 56.5. I think it's an SEC defense against Tulane. I think that I don't see Ole Miss blowing them out. That's what it is. Like maybe 17, maybe 20 points, but I can see a 34-10 type game, 34-13. And, you know, that's when we're not even flirting with the over under there. So give me the under 56.5.
Yeah, unfortunately with these four games, the first four games, you know, two of them are rematches from the regular season, which is unfortunate. I did a blind draw pool, and we took out Tulane and James Madison just for the fact of they're not going to win it all, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if they do, it's going to be one of the craziest stories we've ever had in college football.
I'm here for it, but I agree.
Right. but I think there's a lot of unknowns. Obviously, you're talking about Summerall. He's still coaching. He's going to be the head coach at Florida. And then Pete Golden taking over for Lane Kiffin. Obviously, you know, as I've said on this show prior, Ole Miss was my dark horse to make a run just on value to win the national title prior to Lane Kiffin obviously taking the job at LSU. When they first played earlier in the season, I think Ole Miss was like a 12-point favorite, 12.5 when you got it. It might have creeped down to 11, and they did cover barely in that game. But when Kiffin not there, I think the OC staying behind. 17.5 is a lot of points. I'm staying away. I'm with y'all. I do like the under here. I think they don't get it. We don't get there. I think this is probably in the 40s if I had to guess.
Yeah, and I think you said it. You said it best there, Justin. The last game that we're going to pick a spread on before we get to our winners of the college football playoff, James Madison University in Oregon. The over under is 49.5. Is what I saw about an hour ago. Oregon is, they love to do this to you. -21.5 is what I saw. I don't know, man. I guess I made Alex go first last time, so I have to go first here. Give me Oregon -21.5. Y'all know Oregon's my kryptonite. I like Oregon a lot. I just don't think that James Madison is in the same class of athlete as Oregon. I think it'll show up in this playoff game.
Yeah, I was going to pick the same thing, and I would have felt better about it if it was like a 20.5 point spread. It's just that 21. It's just like don't know.
It just makes you feel bad, right, Alex?
Yeah, it's a playoff game. Like they're going to do that. Like, I'll just for the sake of it, I'll go James Madison covers.
All right,
wins by 17 or 20 or something like that, but they cover.
You ready for me?
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
This is my favorite play. This is my favorite play of the weekend, of the first four games. I mean, this is going to be a bloodbath. In Oregon. Oregon is going to blow them out. James Madison has not played anybody of this level, and I think Oregon's got something to prove. I'm not saying Oregon's going to win it all. I don't know they're going to make a run. They got obviously blown out in that game in the playoff last year against Ohio State. I think Oregon's got something on their shoulders here, and I think this is going to be a blowout. I love this play. I love Oregon -21.
I love it. I love the confidence too. And look, when Justin gives you a play like that, pay attention to it. Yeah. I actually have this entire year, and it's been pretty good. So, all right, next, Alex, what we're going to do is we're both going to pick our college football playoff winner. I have a coin somewhere. No, I don't. I was going to say we'll flip for it. All right. Alex, you call it, and Justin, you say if it's heads or tails. Just pick something, and Alex, you call it.
Now.
Heads.
Okay. Alex, would you like to go first or go second for your college football playoff? We can't pick the same team.
I'll go first.
Okay.
I am going – see, I say I go first, I don't even know what I'm picking. I will go Ohio State. I'm going Ohio State. Like I think they, you know, could be another Indiana rematch type of thing. Like, I think, you know, that team's just loaded on both sides of the ball, and I think they put it together and go back to back.
All right. That was going to be my pick, but since I can't pick them, I'm picking Georgia. And then, all right, Justin, here's my game for you. You get, if you had to tell somebody to pick the team that's going to win the national title, put money on it right now, despite the odds, like, you will make money if you bet on this team. Tell them who to pick, and then you get to pick the team you like that has the best futures odds. So you get two picks here, but who's going to win and who's your dark horse?
My dark horse is Oklahoma. That's my dark horse.
Yeah.
But I like Georgia. I think Georgia's rolling. I think this Georgia's going to be special. But the only thing is, they play Ohio State in the semifinals if they both make it. So didn't want to see that. I kind of, if I was going to see anything, I wanted to kind of see that for the national championship. But I like Georgia.
Well, Justin, you said it a number of weeks ago. I don't know if you remember it, but you said, I'm not betting against Georgia the rest of the season. Y'all, Justin said that maybe 6 weeks ago. If you had followed his advice, you would have won a heck of a lot of money. So I'm happy that Justin picked the same team that I picked, obviously. Alex, I'm sorry. You and Justin have lost that connection. Y'all you used to be on the same mind, but you had the first pick, and I would have picked Ohio State too, so I can't grin too much. But y'all, I'm so excited for this bowl season. Make sure that you follow Justin. Justin, tell him where to find you.
Yes, sportscapvalue.com. We have our daily plays out. Go check it out. Obviously, the playoffs starting Friday officially, so we're looking forward to that. We got the bowl games kicking off too, and then we're hot and heavy in college basketball and the NBA. So check us out.
Well, can't wait for that, Justin. We'll be following you. We'll make sure to have you back in the new year. For me and Alex, this is our last episode of the year. Alex, I can't thank you enough for being my co-host all the way through this. Man, you're the absolute best. I wish you and your family, Justin, you and your family, the happiest, the merriest Christmas. I hope all the kids get exactly what they want for Christmas. I hope you have a great New Year's, and we'll be back soon, y'all. But I also want to thank everyone that listens to this show that's been here. Gosh, Alex, how many episodes is this? Like over 100 that we've done together.
Yeah.
So for those who have been here for the long haul, thank you. For those of you that just found us tonight, thank you. When you hang out with us, you give us the most valuable thing you have, which is your time. So we thank you for that, and we just hope that you all have the merriest Christmas and the happiest of New Year's. For that, we're gone. We'll see you in 2026.